Hi. This is a new machine for me, so I'll just say a few words here and then check it out and make sure I'm recording. Well, apparently I am recording, so I will take this opportunity to say hi to you all. Seems a little funny to be making out a tape here without starting it out Merry Christmas. Perhaps I should start this one out Happy Summer. This is really a mechanism to get word off to you people in a relatively short length of time. I know that this letter will have to be written in the course of 15 minutes because the tape will give out in 15 minutes. And in that way, I'll probably give you as much, if not more, information than I would if I wrote you a 3 or 4 page letter. Of course, I can't write carbons of this very well, and it's a little difficult perhaps to, quote, read over more than once. But nonetheless, I think I'd better do it this way, otherwise I may not be able to get any other word off to you before I leave for the Brooks Range. Well, nothing else to talk about. You know, one always talks about the weather. The weather has really been beautiful around here this spring. Many times the weather reports have shown that you people in the States and in New England have had considerably more wintry weather than we have had. We had at least a month or 6 weeks of nothing but beautiful sunshine. In the last week or two, we've had a good deal of sunshine, also blue sky with quite some cloudiness and some scattered showers. Today is the first day in some time where we've had considerable rain. I got up this morning and saw that it was raining cats and dogs. The road looked in pretty poor shape, so I left the car out of the house and walked on into town. It's about a 3.5 mile walk, and it was raining pretty hard, so I was pretty dirty and wet by the time I got here. The water had soaked up the road so that the mud was 2 or 3 inches deep already, and it made it kind of awkward walking. However, on the whole, the weather has been beautiful, and even now at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the horizon is much more white with some blue sky, and the mountains are shining through, so tomorrow should be a nice day. Of course, it'll take 2 or 3 days now for the road to dry up, so I won't count on driving my car for another day or two. I guess I better tell you something about the house. The house is really quite comfortable now. I really hate to leave it for the summer. The gas and the oil and the water that I had brought in before breakup have lasted well through the breakup. In fact, I think they will last on into the summer now. The road, however, is good, most of the time anyway, is good again, so that if I need it, I can easily get more water and more oil out. I won't need water probably until August, and oil not until sometime in the fall. I've done quite a lot of work on the house in the last couple of weeks, especially since school's been out. The upstairs part, you remember where it's boards and bats, the dormer that projects out through the roof has been stained dark. I've used linseed oil and made a mixture of burnt sienna and burnt umber color, and I really quite like the effects on the house now. I'll take some pictures of it and show you what it looks like this fall. I've bought screens and varnished them and have them on, and then I've done a lot of little odds and ends around the house. I finally got around to varnishing the mantelpiece and the board that goes around the base of the fireplace, the hearth. Bob Creer, one of the boys that's going up into the Brooks Range with us, put in a day working for me, and he accomplished quite a lot of outside work. Oh, let's see, what else have I been doing? Oh, I got a big load of wood in this spring, just before breakup. I got 2 cords of birch. I had burned through all my wood during the fall when I had to keep the house warm before I had heat, so I didn't have any dry wood. So I bought 2 cords, hoping that I could cut wood as the summer goes on and next fall, and then have this as a sort of a buffer supply. And I have a fire in the fireplace almost every evening now. The big windows collect a lot of heat during the day, so during warm, sunny weather, I'll turn the furnace off in the house, and it'll be heated up during the day by the sun, and then as it begins to chill off a little bit in the evening, I just light the fireplace. It's really very, very nice. And of course, speaking of the fireplace, the next right next to it, I have my hi-fi set. So as I work around the house in the evening, I've got the cheery fire and the hi-fi set playing. Tom Brady, you remember him as being, well, you never met him, but he's been here for 2 years now as the in charge of the band, of the music department. And when he left this spring, he left me all his hi-fi records, so I have quite a nice little supply now to listen to. I got winded and had to stop and take a breath just then. Guess I've not been giving lectures now for 3 weeks, and maybe I'm getting out of the. Well, you see, I'm getting tongue-tied even. I'm getting out of the practice of giving lectures and wagging my tongue. At least having my tongue connected to my brain. Well, let's see, what are some of the other things that I've been doing around the house? Oh, last Saturday, I crawled up on the roof and with some asbestos roofing compound went over a large section of the roof where I think it may have leaked last winter. That is where I think the leak was last winter. So with the rain this morning, I didn't get any more leaking, so I hope that I caught that hole all right. Then I spent a lot of time outside cleaning up the yard, taking stuff to the dump. So on the whole, the house is looking very nice, and as I said, I sure hate to leave it for the summer. I do, however, have a person staying in it for the summer. In fact, it's Ray Roof, the man that I drove outside with last summer. Well, speaking of school, that has been out from under pretty much for the last 2 weeks, although as every spring I have to spend at least a week tying up the loose ends of school before I start out on the summer's activities. I had to get out the book orders and the supply orders and tie up the office for the summer. Things are in pretty good shape now, but I certainly am worrying about a course that I have to teach next fall. I'm giving a new course called Vertebrate Anatomy instead of Comparative Anatomy, which is a two-semester course, 3 hours a semester. I'm teaching a one-semester course, just a three-hour course, that is, for the comparative anatomy students. That doesn't sound so bad, but here's what's bad. I have to teach the anatomy of the bony fishes, the birds, and the mammals. Well, number one, there is nothing in the literature, or as far as I can find, from very many of the universities on the anatomy of bony fishes as such. So I'm going to have to scout around, learn what I can about the anatomy of these fishes, and write up my own laboratory directions for that section. Second, on the bird, I thought I'd like to use a chicken, or perhaps I should use some local bird like the ptarmigan, but you can't get any chickens from biological supply houses. They have pigeons, and they're not big enough for my course. So I thought I would get local ptarmigan to use for specimens. But then there's the problem of collecting them and preserving them. The mammal doesn't present much of a problem. I can buy injected cats from the biological supply houses and probably find some good laboratory directions to go with them. The only trouble is I can't find laboratory directions for these three types of specimens bound under one cover, and I can't find any one of them separately, except for the birds. I've written to several universities and have poultry anatomy directions separately there, but of course I can't go into the same detail as they do in poultry. And then, of course, I have to be aware of the differences between ptarmigans and chickens. Did I give a second point? Well, anyway, a third point, or a third headache, is that the class is going to be absolutely huge. It's going to be a course with one lecture and two laboratories, and some 23 students have pre-registered to take the course. And in this particular case, pre-registration does mean something because all these people have to take the course. So I expect to have 23 students. And when I realize how much work I have to do in the comparative anatomy course with three or four students, I just wonder what it's going to be like with these 23 students. I don't think I can even put all 23 students in the same laboratory. Fred Dean of the Wildlife Department has volunteered to help in the laboratories, and of course that will be a great assistance. But the fact that I have 23 students, arranging incidentally from sophomores through graduate students, I will have to have fairly good laboratory directions before these students start their exercises, which means probably sitting down a couple times a week to write out laboratory directions for the course. Sound like a headache? I think so too. Reports on research? Oh, not too much. I'm still pounding away at the Colville report. Haven't accomplished too much, but hope to get it done sometime in the fall. Keep putting it off, don't I? Heard something from Cornell about my Starling paper. You know, I submitted it to the Cornell Memoir series of the Ag Experiment Station. They accepted it, providing I would cut it down to 32 pages, 32 printed pages, which would be about 60 double-spaced typewritten pages. And, of course, the manuscript that I submitted to them was about 130 manuscript pages. Well, I've decided what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to take out some of the more discrete sections and then boil down the other section and therefore get the main part of the paper published as The Breeding Biology of the Starling in the Cornell Memoirs. The only trouble is, again, I won't be able to work on this until next fall. And, of course, I put out to the last, off to the last, the thing of the moment, which is our trip to the Brooks Range. My goodness, how exciting can it get? The Murrays arrived on the 14th of May, and since then we've been getting together and planning the party, gathering all kinds of gear that we need, buying some and putting the rest together and getting it in bundles. And then the Murrays have gone out night after night after night to different friends' houses for dinner, and of course, being part of the party, I have been included in a great many of these invitations and have had a good deal of fun. But things are drawing near now. The first load is leaving tonight. Bob Creer, that's spelled with a K, K-R-E-E-R, and George Schaller are going up to Fort Yukon tonight on the Wien Alaska Airlines flight with all the gear. This afternoon we weighed in 1,214 pounds of gear. That's for all five of us. And they will fly up to Fort Yukon tonight, and the pilot from there, that is the bush pilot, will load them up tonight and take them up to the head of the Sheenjack River. Then they will set up camp, and the pilot will come back to Fort Yukon and ferry another flight of junk up to the boys at the camp. They are landing on ice on one of the big lakes up there. The pilot reports, after a survey trip yesterday, that the ice is breaking up rapidly in the lake, and that he wants to get us in there just as fast as he can, so we'll be landing on wheels on the ice on the one of the big lakes up there on the Sheenjack River. Well, we're getting the boys off tonight down at the airport, and they will go on up and set up camp, and then Dr. and Mrs. Murray and I will leave on the flight Friday morning at 8 o'clock. That's day after tomorrow. You see, it's getting awful doggone close, and as I say, very exciting. And incidentally, note this. I'll give you time to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, perhaps. But note this. My forwarding address is in care of O.J. Murray, M-U-R-I-E, Fort Yukon, Alaska. Any mail sent to this address will be picked up by any bush pilot planes coming in to see us during the summer and will be brought on in. If you wish, however, you can still address stuff to me at the College Alaska address and it will be forwarded up to Fort Yukon from here so that you can take either one you want. Well, now, go take a look at your map and I'll tell you pretty exactly where we'll be up on the Brooks Range this summer. First, find Fort Yukon, which is about 145 degrees, which longitude is that, east or west? East, west longitude. 145 degrees west longitude, and right on the Arctic Circle, well, just above the Arctic Circle. Well, just to the east of that, as you follow up the Old Crow, the Porcupine River, you see the Sheenjack River flowing south into the Porcupine. Well, then follow up the Sheenjack River, and then it takes a very sharp curve to the west, and then it goes north again. It makes a jog, you see, around the mountain called Table Mountain. Well, if necessary, we will land just along the riverbed to the west of Table Mountain, but if possible, we want to go on upriver about another 30, 40 miles before we land, and our base camp will be there. That's pretty far north, isn't it? Sounds pretty exciting to me. I imagine there'll be lots of mosquitoes and probably lots of black flies, but we're pretty well equipped, I think, to take care of that kind of thing. It looks as if we may have plane connections with Fort Yukon about once every 2 weeks. And when the regular mail flight, the Ween mail flight, goes up to Arctic Village, which you will see is to the southwest of our area, whenever a mail flight goes up there and it's possible, the pilot will swing over us and make sure everything is all right before they return on down to Yukon, down to Fort Yukon. I'll stay up on the Shinjek until about the 1st of August. Then I'll come back to Fairbanks, probably spend about a day, before going up to Selawik Lake for duck banding. Selawik Lake is also along the Arctic Circle and at about 160 degrees west longitude, if you'll want to look it up on the map. I will stay at Fort Yukon banding ducks, scop, for about 10 days to 2 weeks. We'll come back to Fairbanks, and as soon as I can, around the middle to the 18th of August, we'll fly home and we'll spend the last half of August and the very first part of September there in Connecticut. Can't see how much tape I've got left, but it's getting mighty small. I might just add that I hope to attend the AOU meetings in Denver, Colorado on my return trip. Well, have a happy, happy summer, and I certainly expect you to.